It's showtime.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Washington is fundamentally corrupt. There are more words in the IRS code than there are in the Bible.
Made in America, heard around the world. You're listening to Blunt Force Truth. I'm Chuck Woolery, along with my co-host, Mark Young. Jeffrey Epstein is under arrest, and all of a sudden, the left is trying to time Trump. Now, I'm sure that Trump knows this guy because he's a billionaire. He's from New York. He's got a place in Palm Beach, as I know Trump does with Mar-a-Lago. And I'm sure their paths have crossed, and they know each other and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But all of a sudden, they're trying to time to Trump. And it's interesting because we all know that Bill Clinton was on his jet like 22 times going to the Lolita Express, going to his...
Actually, Chuck, it was 26 times, but I didn't see anything.
I didn't
see the stripper pole in the plane.
No.
I didn't see the bed where they hold the orgies with all those young girls.
No.
I didn't see the Mile High Club room in the airplane. I didn't see any of those things. I thought it was just a humidor when I was there.
Humidor, perfect. I mean, it's just insane. And they got the whole mainstream media going with this thing. They're trying to tie Trump to him and say Trump did this and Trump did that. Trump did something that was kind of interesting. He blocked him from being a member of one of his golf courses.
Mar-a-Lago. He banned him from Mar-a-Lago.
And that was in 2011, right around 11?
Yep. He banned him from Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, well, you don't do that to a friend, do you?
Not really.
Especially a billionaire friend.
The way they're trying to tie Trump to him, I guess Trump was on his plane once.
Yeah.
As opposed to Bill Clinton's 26 visits.
Right. Yeah.
Also, Trump, back in 2002, was asked for a quote about him in a Vanity Fair column.
Is this where he said he's a terrific guy, but he likes women, but they're awfully young.
He likes beautiful. I guess he and I have something in common. We both like beautiful women. He seems to like them on the younger side.
On the younger side, right. So that immediately ties Trump to him and makes him guilty. Man, the left is just absolutely. You know what? I tweeted out today, this is when hell freezes over, when the left stops projecting their guilt on others.
Well, here's the thing. Epstein has addresses in, he's got his own island in St. Thomas, in the Virgin Islands.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a $77 million place in Manhattan. He's got a place in Paris, New Mexico, and some kind of place in Palm Beach.
Yeah.
And he drives a Rolls Royce and a Bentley, and he's got 9 Mercedes and some Harleys. So here's the thing. All of this stuff seems to be tracing back.
Hey, listen, let me interrupt you just a minute. I lived in Hollywood 40-some years, okay? I know guys who were really bad guys. I met them. I talked to them. I didn't know they were bad guys at the time, but they were. They've been proven to be. And I was never linked to them anyway, other than I knew them or I ran across them at a party or whatever. So this is just silly, but go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Well, it's like what's his name? The big movie producer that everybody was chasing.
Yes. I start to see Wasserstrom. It's not Wasserstrom. It's
it is Wasser something.
No. Isn't that amazing? I just went completely blank on.
Yeah, I don't remember him either. But
Weinstein.
Yeah, he's the next guy.
Who produced great movies, by the way.
Well, this guy Epstein.
Yeah.
All of this seems to go back to around 2005. Even the stuff they're chasing him on now goes back to 2005.
Mm-hmm.
So he first came under suspicion in Palm Beach in 2005. When the police opened up a record about his sexual behavior, and they interviewed 5 alleged victims, 17 witnesses. So the story was Epstein would pay girls, underage girls, between $200 and $1,000 to come to his residence and give him a massage.
Mm-hmm. Which became something else probably.
Because 14-year-old girls are always hired as massage therapists.
Mm-hmm.
Then he would play with them with sex toys, and then he would play with himself while looking at them. This is what's been reported.
Yeah.
So this guy actually cut a deal with Acosta, who is currently in the Trump administration, but he was the attorney, or he was the prosecutor back then.
Right, in Florida.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Acosta cut a deal where Epstein did 13 months in jail, not prison, mm-hmm. on a work release program. So he got to go out and do whatever he wanted to do every day and then come home and sleep at the jail.
Right.
Now, Nancy Pelosi is claiming Acosta needs to step down because he was making these sweetheart deals.
Well, wasn't Mueller involved in this somehow?
Oh, I'm getting there.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But Acosta claims that he was about to get off.
Mm-hmm.
So Acosta says, rather than let this guy walk, I took what I could get.
Right.
But Pelosi saying, no, you made a sweetheart deal for him.
Well, of course, Pelosi will say that no matter what. But go ahead.
So the new indictments include new victims and witnesses who spoke to authorities in New York. Now, as you know, this is the Southern District of New York.
Yeah, they're after Trump's. They're after Trump. Period. Everybody's after Trump in New York.
But the Southern District of New York is just the biggest cesspool of. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a snake pit. And doesn't the, I got to tell you a little sidebar here? Doesn't the television show Billions do a great job of demonstrating the Southern District of New York, how evil it is?
If you pay attention, they do, yeah.
But at any rate, this all goes back to 2002, 2005. And here's where this gets really interesting. The reason Epstein was getting off of everything is because Epstein was an informant for the FBI.
Well, isn't that interesting?
And he was an informant for the FBI for none other than the director of the FBI.
Who would be?
Robert Mueller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Robert Mueller was running point for this guy. So everybody who's talking about how Robert Mueller is such a upstanding, bulletproof hero guy.
Oh, yeah, he's always been that. We all know that.
This is a guy who will turn.
We know that because the media tells us that, and
right.
Washington tells us that. The establishment tells us that.
But this is a guy who will turn a blind eye to 14-year-olds being raped
mm-hmm.
to get what he needs. Okay?
That's an indictment right there.
All right. Now, Epstein, according to Mueller.
Yeah.
Epstein provided what the government called valuable consideration for unspecified information supplied to federal investigators.
I wonder what a billionaire who owns a jet and all these properties and has to offer the FBI. I mean, who's he spying on?
Well, he could be spying on Bill Clinton.
Yeah, well, we know that isn't true unless, you know.
Well, let me tell you how, let's go a little deeper on how dirty this gets, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now let's look at the prosecuting team who's going after Epstein. The prosecuting team.
You're talking about now or then?
Right now.
Well, this is, what's her name, daughter?
Maureen Comey.
Yeah, it's James Comey's daughter.
James Comey's daughter is on the prosecution team going after Jeff Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
It gets even more interesting.
Let's put it in perspective, though. These are all Clinton people. Jeff Epstein's a Clinton person. He's donated to the foundation millions of dollars. Comey's people, they wanted to vote. We know for a fact that Comey's wife and daughter were going to vote for Hillary Clinton. So they're all mixed up with the Clintons.
Well, here's another name that you know here in the press, Peter Comey.
No, I've never heard of him.
Never heard of him, did you?
Nope.
Well, guess who he is?
A son of?
The brother of James Comey.
Oh, the brother, okay.
Who is none other than the law firm for the Clinton Foundation.
I mean, it's just incredible how they're all tied together and this force of media that is trying to turn this on Trump and away from Clinton. Is just amazing. I mean, it's just, it never, ever stops.
The projection never stops. When you look at the deep state situation that we're faced with here,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this is nepotism. This is, it's a ruling class bureaucracy.
Ideological friends.
And these people, I mean, these people in many cases wield more power than the elected officials.
Oh, they do. They do indeed.
Because they're making decisions.
Well, how many times they turn to the Supreme Court to decide everything? I mean, that Congress should decide. Let me give you an example. A lot of people don't know this, but Obama struck the citizenship question from the census. He's the one who took it down. Was there a census performed during the Obama administration?
Yeah.
There was.
Yeah, it would have been 2010.
And that's when he took it down?
Correct.
Okay. So now, I would think that since it was done by an executive order, Trump would be just as capable of reintroducing that as a executive order. And yet, the Supreme Court punted back to an appellate court because of time. They're printing these things now, and they knew that they couldn't do it. You know, it just makes you think, who is John Roberts and what the crap is he up to?
Well, he was a Bush appointee.
I know.
Now, the judge, by the way, and let me tell you something. When I look at this Epstein case feels like double jeopardy. Because the charges, the cases they're coming after him for, look like the same thing that he already pled guilty to and did the 13 months.
Right.
And now what they're doing is the feds are actually running advertisements hunting for victims. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not defending Epstein, but I am defending double jeopardy.
Well, they're looking for new victims, I suppose, instead right. of old ones. So they've got a new case instead of the old one, I suppose.
But so
I'm can't wait to see just exactly how this falls apart. Blue Emu works fast and you won't stink. This episode of Blunt Force Truth is brought to you by Blue Emu Pain Relief Products. Now, I've been in show business for many years now, and I'm not slowing down, but I can use a little help every now and then. Blue Emu's family of products are made in America and have become a staple in my life. The deep penetrating formula of Blue Emu Original is best for supporting my muscles and joints, and I'm sure you've seen it. It's on the shelf in a blue and white jar. I also use Maximum Arthritis for any arthritic pain and the Lidocaine Cream for numbing pain relief. Not only do these Blue Emu formulas work great, there's no chill, no burn, and no odor. Blue Emu, it works fast and you won't stink. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Amazon, and other fine retailers.
So there's a few last things I want to throw in here. Clinton has been on that jet 26 times, according to FAA flight logs.
Right. And a lot of the times he dropped Secret Service. He didn't take them with him.
On five of those occasions, he slipped his Secret Service detail. Mm-hmm. Now, this was a jet that was commonly referred to. This is back like Harvey Weinstein, where you were in Hollywood. Everybody knew Harvey Weinstein was a scumbag.
Right.
Okay, this is that same kind of thing. This guy's got a 727 outfitted as a Mile High Club. It has a bar in it. It has a stripper pole. It has an orgy bed in it. And it is called the Lolita Express.
Right.
Okay, when you're getting on an airplane called the Lolita Express.
And he was probably proud of the fact that it was called the Lolita Express.
So Chuck, I invite you to go on a plane ride with me, and I tell you, I want you to get on my 727 called the Lolita Express. Well,
this is nothing more, quite frankly, than a billionaire pimp.
So what would you think about that? And you're the president.
Yeah.
Would you think this might be a bad idea?
In Bill Clinton's case, no, because this guy's a big donor, number one, and a friend, a close friend. To he and Hillary both, and she's been on the jet as well.
She was on the jet as well. Now, Bill Clinton has flown to His private sex island is what they refer to it as. He lost his Secret Service detail on 5 of the 26 flights. Mm-hmm. Now, Bill Clinton has released a press release.
Yeah, that was an interesting press release that everybody's quoting saying, well, you know, Trump could never do this. That's the last I heard, is they gave this press release over CNN, I think, and then a panel of Never Trumpers, including some Republicans, got on and said, well, you know, Trump could never release something like this.
Well, Clinton's released, his release says, I didn't know anything about those charges against him back in 2002 and 2003. I didn't know anything about him ever being in jail or ever even having a sex orgy on his airplane. The guy who did 13 months in prison, and you're flying around with him on a plane called the Lolita Express.
And you don't know anything about this.
And you don't know anything, and you have no one around you.
Just like Obama saying, I heard it on the news. I read it in the paper.
But meanwhile, the press attacks Donald Trump, saying that he gets things from the news.
Right, yeah.
So we also have, in fact,
how they just can't take him down. They've tried everything and nothing, everything that worked before just doesn't work on him.
Now, according to a New York Police Department source and a Blackwater USA founder and retired Navy SEAL, Eric Prince, claims that among the 650,000 Huma Abedin emails on her estranged husband's laptop,
that estranged husband would be Wiener.
Anthony Wiener.
Wiener.
Carlos Danger. Carlos. Who the hell calls themselves Carlos Danger?
A guy who thinks he's bigger than he is. Carlos Danger. I mean, jeez. But go ahead.
And he's actually just Wiener the Peter Tweeter.
Whatever.
So, according to him, the estranged husband's laptop had evidence that Hillary Clinton, as well as President Bill Clinton, was a visitor to convicted pedophile Jeb Epstein's Caribbean hideaway, known as, this would never tip you off, Chuck, because I know this wouldn't catch you.
Of course not.
His island is called Orgy Island.
I want to go there. I mean, seriously.
So you get on a plane called the Lolita Express on your way to Orgy Island.
Yeah.
And you don't think twice about it, because what could possibly go wrong there?
Well, I mean, the guy's contributing millions of dollars to you.
Not only did he contribute millions of dollars, he was actually the first and founding contributor to the Clinton Foundation.
I know. These people are in deep with him. And they'll forgive him for anything, for money.
Now, there is a rumor that Anthony Weiner, the Peter Tweeter, and his wife are currently cooperating with authorities on multiple investigations of Bill and Hillary. The secrets those two could spill.
Huh? You know, it's just, I hear this. This has been going on for years now. And I just wonder if it'll ever come to any kind of conclusion. I mean, these people are bad people. There's no question about it. I don't care how much the press covers for them. They are who they are. They're driven by nothing but greed and power. And I don't know whether it'll ever really resolve itself in our favor.
So Hillary went to Orgy Island 6 times. Bill went to Orgy Island 20 times.
What the heck are they doing there?
I mean, it's called Orgy Island,
Chuck. I know, but what are they doing on Orgy
Island? Use your imagination. Come on.
Well, you're there with Hillary and your wife. You know, what the heck are they doing? What are they doing there?
Well, you know, some people are into that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah.
You know, maybe Hillary's into the women. I can't tell you. I don't know. I wasn't there.
I don't know.
But what we do know, because of FAA logs, was that the president flew on, President Clinton, by the way, flew on the Lolita Express 20 times to a place called Orgy Island.
Let me ask you.
Hillary went 6 times. We don't know that Hillary and Bill went together. We don't know that.
Oh. Oh, why not?
Well, I don't have that information. They could have went on separate trips.
They could have gone on separate trips. You keep saying
well, yes. Well, yeah, because well, because it was my favorite movie, Went with the Wind. So
I correct you every time, and it doesn't matter. It just still does it over and over again.
I know, because I'm from Detroit. So at any rate.
It's a man who's working on his doctorate, by the
way. Yes. So at any rate, it's a doctorate in psychology. You don't have to be able to speak English.
You're going to be the Dr. Phil of our show. It's going to be perfect.
So the judge in the Epstein case is Richard Berman.
And what are his connections to whom?
He was appointed by Bill Clinton
well, <they're, laughs>
in 1998.
What a surprise.
And he's the guy that gave Dinesh D'Souza time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's the guy that nailed Dinesh.
Yeah.
In which the president came along and fixed. But anyway, you look at all this and Nancy Pelosi's daughter, who is
these people are nasty, aren't they? They're just nasty. It's just incredible. I mean, I can remember Herb Shotland's mother and dad was they were from New York and they were part in our neighborhood. His dad ran a business there and for years called Castle Showcase, which they made showcases for Bergdorf Goodman, all of those big New York stores. And I was just really very close to the family. And Mrs. Shotland, every time I saw her, she said, you know, you should run for the Senate or Congress. You should get into politics. And I remember saying to her, even as a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old and 18-year-old, I would never do that. I would hate that.
One of the things that I think keeps both of us out of politics, one is neither one of us want to be abused that badly.
Right.
But the second one,
that badly on Twitter every day.
I know.
It doesn't matter to me.
But it also goes back to, you know, the what we discussed before, the Godel's dilemma, which is you cannot fix a system from within the system.
No, eventually we've seen so many people become a part of that system who we trusted as being conservative and they weren't at all, or they were partially conservative, which doesn't make sense.
So, you and I believe you and I get to cause more damage to the government and be able to accomplish more good where we're at than we could if we were in the halls of Congress.
Well, I mean, I guess that's debatable, but, you know, we'll see.
So speaking of Congress, my favorite Democratic candidate has dropped out of the race, Chuck.
Swalwell dropped out. The anti-gun guy from where is he from? Ohio? Where is he?
California.
From? Oh, California. Of course, he's from California. Yeah.
He has dropped out of the race. Now he said.
So, by the way, you know, New Zealand passed a law because they had a horrendous event over there. They had a mass shooting, which only happens in the United States, according to the media. And so, their parliament voted 99-1. To confiscate, actually buy back, I don't know where they buy back from, they never owned them to begin with, to buy back all the guns in New Zealand, which were about 1,600,000 guns, okay? Where are they today?
No idea.
Well, they've got 700 people have turned them in.
Out of how many?
Out of 1,500,000, 1,600,000.
They're off to a good start.
Yeah, right.
Well, Elizabeth Warren said that she wouldn't be against having door-to-door confiscation.
Of course not. No, the Democrats aren't. I mean, have you been listening to these debates, how incredibly wild they are? It's just you really have to pinch yourself and say, okay, what country am I in?
Right. This sounds like the Soviet Union, the old Soviet bloc.
It is the Soviet Union. I mean, they're just communists. I mean, it sounds like hyperbole, but honest to God, folks, it really isn't. The stuff that they're talking about is Cloward and Piven.
Open society.
Open society with, what's his name?
George Soros.
George Soros is all over guys, his fingerprints on everything. And they just are falling in line. Tom Steyer.
Okay. Who is now officially running for president.
Yeah, I can't wait till he's questioned. He's never been under fire.
So Swalwell gets out, Steyer gets back in. But you got to admit, Swalwell, according to his personal financial documents that he filed, he's actually technically bankrupt.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's why
the only assets he has to his name are credit card debt.
Holy cow.
Right. So when your debt exceeds your assets.
I guess he's not that smart, is he?
Oh, no. I mean, have you ever
seen he's a perfect Democrat, though, because that's basically where they'll put us.
I mean, I'm just going to miss him on Twitter begging for a dollar.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And then it's just send me a dollar, just $1. Then it's, you know, an expired Starbucks gift card and some S&H green stamps. If you can send me that.
You know, one of the most interesting things that I saw in the debates was when Kamala Harris turned on Joe Biden and accused him of not voting for the busing act, whatever it was. Of course, it was completely out of whack. And she had obviously rehearsed this over and over again and claimed she was one of those children who was on buses.
Which she was not.
Well, the funny thing about it is, the weird thing about it is, the black community was as much against it as the white community. They didn't want their kids bused, you know, for an hour someplace to another school.
My school, when I was a kid, was in that mess. And what they did to our school was they bused some kids from a black neighborhood over to our school.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made some of our kids go over to the black school.
Right. So what was the purpose?
It just made everybody's...
It was forced integration is what it was.
It was forced integration.
Yeah. So when I grew up in Kentucky, we had a governor called, he was a Democrat, called Happy Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
And Happy Chandler was the first governor to integrate the schools of Kentucky, long before any of this stuff ever happened. I was in school in the 50s.
I thought you guys were all racist in Kentucky.
Well, aren't there racists everywhere? I mean, you know, we're all such a racist society. When, by the way, is this going to jump the shark? Or has it?
Well, look at Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi now says make America great again actually means make America white again.
Thank you. Yes, of course. It's just nuts. It goes back to the framers, which is very interesting, which we all know this expression, united we stand, divided we fall. What party wants to divide us more than any other party, and who does that? To make us fall, and what's the purpose behind it?
To make the country ungovernable.
On to the Republicans, but quite frankly, it's the Democrats. We know that. They are just trying to divide us any way they possibly can, by sex, by color, by you name it.
It is very simple. It is Cloward and Piven. It is George Orwell.
I hope people know who Cloward and Piven are. If you're not, Google it.
Well, maybe we'll do a show on Cloward and Piven.
Mm-hmm. And Alinsky.
We'll do one on Alinsky.
These people deserve to be they deserve to be Googled, looked at, and defined. And I really hope that you will do that if we should do a show on
that. Yeah, let's do it. Well, how about what's his name? Frank Davis, too.
Well, he's all part of that. I mean, that's Obama's, you know, real father, his mentor. I should put it that way. He's really his mentor. And this is all out of Chicago, which I find fascinating. This whole kind of communist, Marxist whole cabal is really all around Chicago. Chicago is just seems to be the fertile ground for this to grow.
Well,
now it's in California. Now it's in New York. Now it's every place. But it started in Chicago.
But I mean, if you're a mayor or a governor of Chicago, think about it. Your next stop is likely prison.
Well, that's been proven.
Right? I mean, have you ever seen a city or a state where more politicians end up in prison than Illinois?
You know, there was a great series on television that got bumped. What's his name? Oh, he's Kelsey Grammer. Yes, and Kelsey Grammer proved to be a great actor on this
series. Yes.
I mean, gosh, he was awesome. And it was all about, you know, the mayor of Chicago. And I forget what the name of it was. It escapes me now, but I watched
it. It was a great show. And Grammer claims it got canceled because of his being a conservative.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that makes perfect sense.
It was a great show.
If you look at what's going on HBO, Netflix, I mean, all of these. I was watching, and I have been watching, I don't know whether anybody else has or not, The Loudest Voice, which is about the guy who ran Fox.
Ailes? Roger Ailes?
Roger Ailes. And I understand, I'm not sure what's behind this because it's kind of odd, but I read where Russell Crowe, who plays Roger Ailes, and by the way, talk about a transformation. Holy cow, you'd never recognize Russell Crowe as Roger Ailes. I mean, it's just amazing what he went through, the physical transformation he went through. But, of course, they have him as a womanizer, which we, I guess we know perhaps was true. I guess it was. And but he's behind – Roger Ailes had a lot to do with Rush Limbaugh.
He created the Rush Limbaugh show.
Yeah.
And there would be no Rush Limbaugh without Roger Ailes, and there would be no Fox News without Rush Limbaugh.
Right. So, you know, it's just under attack. But the interesting thing to me was is that Russell Crowe apparently has refused to do any kind of promotion for the show. Huh. And I really don't know why, because it's obviously anti-Fox, anti – and by the way, when we say anti-Fox, Fox is our friend. They've been our friends absolutely. For a long time, but if you watch what's going on to Fox, it's going all Britain, which means it's going all socialist. It's not all that way, but it is. You know, another thing I want to say that I tweeted out last night because it's true. Sean Hannity's show is an opinion show, correct?
Correct.
There is more hard news in an hour in the Sean Hannity show than there is in a week on regular media.
Yeah, Hannity's really turning into hard reporting.
Well, I mean, it's just fascinating to me to be an opinion show who really is based on news and journalists.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anyway, just my take.
Bill de Blasio is also running for president.
God, he is an empty suit, isn't he? I mean, he's a big empty suit, but an empty suit nevertheless.
He now says that gender reassignment surgeries should absolutely be paid for by taxpayers.
Oh, of course, taxpayers should pay for everything. That's how government runs.
So, and he wants Medicare for all, and then Medicare for all to cover the gender reassignment surgery. Now, what if I wanted to get a facelift?
Did you see my vasectomy tweet?
I did. That that made it into the media.
It did? I didn't know it made it.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Salon and Huffington Post picked it up and ran entire stories about Chuck Woolery's pride. Yeah. Well, his pride in the fact that he was manly enough to keep having his nads snipped over and over.
Well, I had a vasectomy when I was married, okay? So my wife wanted to have a child, and so I said, okay, I went back and I had a vis-a-vasectomy, which they're both extremely painful, folks. This is not something you sneer at. And we had Michael, and then 6 years later she said, you know, Michael really would have a brother, so I had another vis-a-vasectomy because I'd had a vasectomy in between the time because I figured that was the end. Then I had another vis-a-vasectomy, and then after that, I went, I'm not having any more children. This is the way it is. So I had another vasectomy.
So does your wedding tackle have like a zipper on it where they just
seriously?
So they don't have to do any cutting? They can just open up and reach in or what?
Holy cow, flip a switch. I mean, give me a break.
I mean, you had more vasectomies, I think, than I take my car in for an oil change.
I know. It was like, it was ridiculous just to, you know, and I have two lovely boys because of it, and I wouldn't.
There it is. See, Chuck Woolery's new game show is guess how many vasectomies I've had.
Well, and vis-a-vasectomies. I mean, it was not just vasectomies, but it was reversals as well.
Oh, I'm seeing Alex Trebek. I'll take vasectomies for $800, Alex.
Right.
What game show host has had more vasectomies than any other game show host in America?
Well, this all had to do with a tweet that I'd sent out that something about women, you know, aborting children.
Well, I got your idea. Your idea was
I paid
don't need to get abortions. If men would go out and get a vasectomy, then you wouldn't have all these abortions.
You know, I talked to a woman not too long ago who's a doctor, and she said, when I was dating, I always said to men, if a woman asks you, instead of her having to take
birth control,
would you be willing to have a vasectomy? And she said, if he said no, I would have nothing more to do with him. And I thought, man, am I your guy?
To see somebody, would you get a vasectomy? Yeah, I'll take get another one right now.
I mean, seriously, what a question to ask anyway on a first date.
I would think as many times as you've done it, you probably could do it on yourself by now, can't you?
No,
I mean,
have
you figured out how to self-perform one?
It is so, it is. I heard someone who said, a famous person, who was it, said they had a vasectomy. They had to carry him home and, it was all, I mean, I did it as an outpatient in a doctor's office 5 times, you know, both pro and con, and walked home as I drove home anyway. And, you know, it was very painful for a period of
time. But you're just more manly than a lot of these guys. I understand after one of your vasectomies, you went directly into a martial arts class. And
I did. Yeah. I was high kicking and people couldn't believe it. Is that Chuck Woolery in a roundhouse? Yeah. How do you do that? Just had a vasectomy.
Go ahead. Kick me. See if I care.
Right.
Oh my goodness. So anyways,
enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me?
Well, I do think you have a zipper on your wedding tackle, but anyways. So if I wanted to get a facelift,
yeah,
shouldn't that be covered by Medicare for all?
No.
Well, if I can get sex reassignment surgery.
This is stupid. All of this stuff is stupid, America. You know,
I want a free facelift.
Yeah.
Chuck, you're jamming me up here, man.
Right.
Shouldn't I be allowed to have that free? Because, Chuck, what if not having that facelift is damaging my very sensitive psyche?
Yeah, right.
What if I self-identify as a 25-year-old?
Mm-hmm. Well, then I think that Nutrisystem and all these things where you lose weight should also be paid for, don't you?
Did you just call me fat?
No. I'm just saying. For people who have a bad
I'm talking facelift and you jump right into.
Because of their fatness, they should.
No, look at that. I want a facelift and you're like, no, you need to diet, but you need a facelift. You need to lose some freaking weight.
I would never say that. You're a bull. We all know it.
But at any rate, if sex reassignment is covered by Medicare, then breast implants should be covered.
Here's the deal. It never ends. Free stuff or the promise of free stuff never ends. No, you can't. Democrats are an interesting breed. No matter what you give them, they're never satisfied. They want more, always. And they don't want it. They demand more.
So de Blasio, in addition to this, he made a rule that in New York City jails, mm-hmm. when you go to jail in New York, you can now decide what gender you are and where you'll be kept.
I hear this is going on in a lot of schools.
Okay, but so I get arrested.
As a man.
Yeah, maybe I'm a rapist. And I get arrested and I'm like, you know what? I'm a woman. Right. Put me in the women's prison. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
No. Mark, you keep saying, does that make sense? I mean, you said it like a whole bunch of times. None of this stuff makes any sense. And you only hope that we're not the only ones on earth that look at this and go, well, that's just ridiculous.
So let me.
That's what Democrats are asking us to do is to believe in all of this absurd, ridiculous stuff and elect them to office in order to promote it and get it done. I mean, it's truly insane.
Now, de Blasio has also banned daddy-daughter dances.
Oh, that's some of the most fun I ever had was the daddy-daughter dances. I have pictures of Jennifer and I at a daddy-daughter dance.
I took Andy to daddy-daughter dances every year forever, for years and years. We have a picture from every one.
Yeah, that was like a special time. I loved that. Yeah.
Okay, those dances have all been banned in New York.
Why?
Because they're not gender neutral.
Jeez. Oh my God.
You can now only have a parent-child dance.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. You can't have a daddy-daughter dance.
All right, does anybody go against this stuff? I mean, has anybody got guts enough to stand up and say, you know, this is stupid and ridiculous, and we're just not going to do it?
Well, he's the mayor, so he gets to write these executive orders. In last year, de Blasio signed a bill allowing city residents to change their birth certificates to reflect their preferred gender. So now you can literally have your birth certificate changed. How bizarre is that?
Well, speaking of gender fluidity, how about our women's soccer team? I'm not conflicted over it. I really would want to stand up and applaud these women. And this other woman, I can't think of her name, starts with an R. She just ruined it for everybody. I mean, you know, throwing the flag on the ground and saying F Trump and F the White House and F this and F that, and we're the greatest in the world. And I mean, these are people who were celebrated by, at least by their own teammates, if nobody else, and the LGBTQ community, and just left everybody else high and dry. I mean, what a bad taste to leave in people's mouths, so to speak, with their behavior after winning and during the time they were winning. I had a very good friend of mine, by the way, who was excellent, could have gotten a full scholarship playing women's soccer. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, I said, why did you quit soccer? And by the way, she said, I don't really like watching it on television. But she said, I love playing it. And she was really, really good at it. She was the goalie. And she said, you know, it got to the point where everybody on the soccer team was a lesbian but me. And I decided I didn't want to be called a lesbian. So I quit playing.
Really?
You can only guess who that was.
I can guess who that was.
Yeah. Yep. Sorry to leave you out there, folks, but I just don't want to mention her name.
No. So at any rate, moving on here.
Mm-hmm.
So you know the Colorado Christian cake baking store that is constantly being sued.
Constantly under attack, constantly, you know, having one suit after another against them.
So they've been sued again. Mm-hmm. Now think about this. The Supreme Court ruled in their favor.
Right.
And now they've been sued again.
Does not stop the left. Nothing stops them. They are at war 24 hours a day.
Now, do you think it is just coincidental that all these freaks keep showing up at this one cake shop asking for this stuff?
Of course it's not.
They're targeting this shop. This time, someone went in and wanted a sex reassignment cake made.
Right. Knowing that they wouldn't do it.
Now, here's my question for
because
you.
Because of their religious beliefs. So is that freedom of religion? And
yeah, they've already won in the Supreme Court.
I know.
But they're just trying to shut the store down.
Trying to break them.
So my question is, if I own a cake shop, mm-hmm. I can't tell someone I don't bake sex reassignment cakes.
Well, of course, you should be able to.
But if I own a restaurant,
I can spit on people and spit in their food and run them out and scream at them. And,
so if I own the Red Hen restaurant.
Of course, anything goes.
I can run a member of the Trump administration out of my restaurant. I can throw Sarah Sanders out of my restaurant and refuse to serve her and everyone in her party.
Yeah. All right, didn't matter. Just
so I can deny you a meal, mm-hmm. but I can't reject making a cake for your sex reassignment party. Right. How does anyone, and I get, and here's my point on this, Chuck. I'm going to give you another example, too. My point is, I get why the left is doing this stuff. What I don't get is why voters can't see through this.
You know, that amazes me, too. This stuff that goes on, I don't know how any self-respecting Jew or black person could vote Democrat. I honestly don't know how. Knowing what we know about the history of the Democrat Party, who they are, what they're trying to accomplish, what they have done, I'll just give you one example. The Civil Rights Bill would never, ever have been passed if it were not for the Republican Senate, ever. That is a fact.
Well, slavery wouldn't have been beat if it hadn't been for the Republicans.
Well, I know that, but we all know that. But then, you know, they say everybody changed. Well, there's a great piece on Prager University, which has been pillared by the left, on the history of the Democrat Party, and a black woman who teaches at Vanderbilt University, I believe, does the piece, and she really exposes everything. And, of course, this is verboten on every place, YouTube and you name it. But it's there, and it's in black and white, so to speak. It's facts. And it just seems like no one wants to deal with it. I mean, we're talking about whenever the big excuse for the Democrats becoming Republicans is all of the Democrats in the South became Republicans. That is not true. They did not all become Republicans. Two senators. That's what they base this on. So, you know, it's very hard to re-instruct or even instruct people on history and how important it is. But when you see these fake arguments, and they can be blown apart by history, and no one ever does it, no one ever challenges it, you wonder, no wonder these people believe all the wrong things. And they are just so embedded in their psyche and their bias that there's no way you can ever present anything that's the truth and say, you know, think about it. Does this make sense to you?
Where this all came from was something called the McGovern Doctrine. Do you remember that?
No.
And I believe that was, and you can look it up. In fact, I'll ask Patrick to look it up. Would you get me the date on the McGovern Doctrine, Patrick? I think it's 1972.
It'd be 60s or 70s, early 70s.
I think it's 72. Mm-hmm. And the McGovern Doctrine was created at the DNC, at the Democratic National Convention. Mm-hmm. And what the purpose of the McGovern Doctrine was it was a plan. It was a platform, a speech. It was a model.
And by the way, McGovern, just to put in perspective, was a far-left socialist.
Correct. But the McGovern Doctrine was the marketing plan of how they were going to convince America that the Republicans and the Democrats switched spots. Mm-hmm. So this didn't happen by accident. This happened, it was deliberate.
Of course.
And the whole idea...
I think that Johnson, who was an absolute racist, there's no question about it. He was a racist. I mean, I live, 30 miles from his house?
Right. You live on Lake LBJ, yeah.
Right. I live on a lake that was named after him. And this man was a blatant racist. You can hear it on phone calls. You can hear it on – it's all on tape. And yet they just completely ignore that.
Well, they ignore that Margaret Sanger was a Nazi.
Unbelievable to me.
They ignore comments where Margaret Sanger flat out said abortion was a way to get rid of the undesirable blacks.
Exactly. Yeah, it was eugenics, basically. And I don't understand whether people just don't listen to this. They don't digest it. They don't care about it. It becomes really lemmings. I mean, just run over the cliff with everybody else.
Yeah, the McGovern Doctrine was 72. I was correct on that. And so this is what happened. They literally, in the midst of a Democratic National Convention, it was a highly contested national convention. It was one where they had violence and everything at it.
Mm-hmm. Not like the one in Chicago.
Right. So they came up with this idea. All right, let's come up with this marketing program. Let's tell everybody we all switch sides. Mm-hmm. Because we need people to think of us. We need the black people to like us. So let's tell them we're the Republicans now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. You constantly hear, even today, all you hear is the Republicans are the party of the rich.
Well, that's right? That at one time that is true, but that's like so far back in history now, I can't even recount it.
The average Democratic voter in America earns $6,000 more than the average Republican voter.
Yeah, but it's a good story.
Yeah.
You know, again, Mark, it goes back to if they didn't have the mainstream media to promote all of this crap, it wouldn't stick. It just wouldn't. But they do. They have these ideologues who are in journalism who just promote everything that the Democrats, they are the voice of the Democrats. They are, as Mark Levin refers to them, the Praetorian Guard.
I'll give you another example. I said I was going to use another example. Bernie Sanders says that it is evil to inherit money from your family.
Yeah, right.
So If I give my children money, that's evil, because here's why. Because I've stripped them of their dignity and their ability to earn it.
Yeah, right.
But if I put you on welfare and give you money, that's okay. I'm not stripping you of your dignity or making you work for it.
Obviously, the reason for that is government does it in place of the parents. So government always wins when it comes to Democrats. It's the way it is. It's just
no, that's exactly like it is. By the way, you may want to take a moment here and tell us about your friends at Blue Emu.
Well, you suppose I should?
Yeah, why not?
Well, folks, I want to tell you something. Blue Emu works fast, and as everyone knows, you won't stink. And this episode of Blunt Force Truth is brought to you by Blue Emu Relief Products. Now, I've been in show business for, a lot of years, almost 50, and I'm not slowing down, but I could use a little help every now and then. Blue Emu's family of products are made in America, and they've become a staple in my life. The deep penetrating formula of Blue Emu Original is best for supporting my muscles and joints. Now, I'm not sure you've seen it. Actually, I'm sure you've seen it. I'm not sure.
Are we talking about Chuck Woolery's muscles or the product?
Yeah, we're talking about Blue Emu. I'm sure you've seen it. It's on the shelf in a blue and white jar. I also use Maximum Arthritis for any arthritic pain and the Lidocaine Cream for numbing pain relief. Not only do these Blue Emu formulas work great, there's no chill, no burn, no odor. Blue Emu works fast and you won't stink, and it's available at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Amazon, and other fine retailers.
Do you use that lidocaine numbing cream when you get your weekly vasectomy?
Thing? Yeah, right. You always put that on before I get... Yeah, right. Thank you so much for making that a part of our commercial.
So there's a principal in Florida, Chuck, that said that he has no ability to be able to have his school teach the Holocaust because he has no way of knowing whether it actually happened or not.
So do you know back in the 40s, when the Holocaust was known by, just about everybody, the New York Times absolutely refused to recognize it?
New York Times, I'm shocked.
Well, not only, but think about it. New York Times was owned by a Jewish man in the 40s, a family.
Really?
And they would not recognize it. Yeah, that's how corrupt these people are. They didn't want to draw attention to it because they were afraid of an anti-Jewish backlash. You go, what? What kind of reasoning is that?
Well, think about this. This guy says that...
By the way, I wouldn't have even known that had it not been for Mark Levin talking about it.
So this is a school in Palm Beach where there's no Jews.
No.
No Jews in Palm Beach.
No, of course not.
So at a school in Palm Beach called Spanish River High School.
One of my best friends owned property in Palm Beach. Mm-hmm. He was literally one of my best friends. I used to spend a lot of time down there with him. I'm not going to mention his name. But I remember the first sale of property to a Jew he made. And the community just went nuts. They just didn't like it at all. And he said, look, money's green. Who cares? It doesn't matter to me.
So they were upset that he moved into town?
Well, there are clubs down there like, I don't know where it is now, with Seminole. And
right.
And there's another one down there. It's right in Palm Beach. I can't remember what the name of it is. It's crazy, but it's
Mar-a-Lago's close to there too.
Yeah, but that doesn't affect Mar-a-Lago. Trump would never do anything like that because he's not an anti-Semite, nor is he a racist. But during this period of time in the 70s and 80s, it was very racist and very, listen, the club I belong to in Bel Air, California was, the Jews literally had to create their own clubs around the town of L.A. because they weren't allowed in any of these other clubs. Of course, blacks weren't either, and it just went on and on. I mean, this was really the club scene, and in Palm Beach was no different. And so these people couldn't join, the Jews couldn't join clubs, so they created their own. And anyway, my friend sold his land for a pretty hefty profit to a Jewish guy and just got pillared by the community. He didn't care.
Well, think about, first off, You're a principal at the high school in Palm Beach, and you're going to tell people that I can't confirm the Holocaust ever existed? I can't prove it?
Well, listen, people have called me an anti-Semite. You know this is true.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not only have I been called a racist, but I've been called an anti-Semite. I was raised in a neighborhood in Kentucky, in eastern Kentucky, and my neighborhood was predominantly Jewish. All of my friends were Jewish. I mean, you know, and they were my friends, close friends. I remember the Shotlands came to see me when I was in the Navy. They flew to, where was it? It's one of the Saints over there, anyway, one of the, on the Riviera. And they flew in to see me because they wanted to make sure I was okay. I mean, it's just insane, these people, how they twist and turn things to make you look like something you're not in order to just
nullify. Well, of course, some of your closest friends have been Jewish.
Well,
and how can anyone be evangelical Christian?
The Hasselskis, the Shotlands, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I could name them all. And we were all, you know, a close-knit neighborhood, the Mansbacks. The Mansback, Sam Mansback, who was a real good buddy of mine, he was much older than I was. Sam was much older than I was, and I'll put it this way. I used to cut his grass when I was a kid, and he would invite me in. We'd have a Coke, and he'd talk. He always treated me like an adult. And as I grew up and became an adult, we became close friends and, you know, traveled in certain areas. He was a pilot, and we traveled on his plane different places and all that. But anyway, that's beside the point. The point is that I can remember we were talking about my mom playing bridge at Bel Air Country Club, which was a country club.
Yeah, not the Bel Air Country Club.
No, not the one I belong to out in California. It was in Ashland, Kentucky. I think it was – no, Belfont Country Club. I'm sorry, Belfont. And so I was talking to Sam one day, and I said, you guys play golf, or do you ever go to Belfont Country Club? He said, oh, no, we can't do that. And I said, why not? He said, well, we're Jewish. I said, well, what's that got – I didn't understand it. I said, well, what does that got to do with anything? He said, Chuck, you know, we're Jewish. We can't join. It's a closed club. And I remember being a kid. I was just – when I was in my teens, I was literally baffled by it. I just couldn't understand it. So I used to swim at his pool. He was one of the people in the neighborhood who had a pool. And I said, you know – I think that's where the conversation came. I said, you ever go to Belfont Country Club and in the pool? He said, no, we just built our own. And he did. They literally built an absolute replica of the Belfont Country Club pool in their backyard. And so that's the way that went. Anyway, you know, it's just, it's crazy what people do. And as I look back on my history and how confounded I was by these ideas that you could exclude Jews because they're Jews. I just never got it. I don't get it today, other than I think it's spiritual. It has nothing to do with human nature more than just spiritual things.
I think there's more to this, though. I think when you think about that, if teachers can start saying that, well, we can't really tell you the Holocaust really happened because, you know, I wasn't there.
Right.
Okay, well, I wasn't there for the Civil War.
This has been going on a long time, though. You know that. This is nothing new.
And I wasn't there during the Founding Fathers.
Right.
So,
but it's documented. I mean,
so's the Holocaust.
It's on film. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, good Lord, you got film.
My grandfather was there. I've heard my grandfather tell me the stories. My grandfather was a Royal Air Force officer. Hmm. And he was there and told me of the brutality and the condition that these people were in when they finally went in.
But this is documented on film. The point I'm making is, do they really believe that they can rewrite history and people are just so ignorant or don't care that they'll believe them? And there may be a certain amount of people who do believe them, but I can't believe they're in the majority.
But
it seems so insane. Of course,
it's Orwellian. Rewrite the history.
I know, it's just exasperating, isn't it?
It's rewrite the history. Well, we don't know that the Founding Fathers really wrote the Constitution. None of us were there to actually see them sign it. There's no photographs.
No, they're just signatures that we can verify.
They just, you know, but nobody filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how do we know that those signatures aren't forged? It's rewriting history.
Yeah, you can, you can really leave it up to the left.
Well, look at the way they want to. I mean, we have to get rid of statues. We have to paint over George Washington. Mm-hmm. We have to get rid of statues to Robert E. Lee.
This is all because they own slaves. This is like, all that's about.
Kamala Harris's family owned slaves.
It's, well, the first slave ever owned in America was owned by a black man. Okay, let's be honest. That's true. But the point is, and that really has nothing to do with reality. It just happens to do with history. And I don't know. I mean, I guess you can get away with this stuff for so long. We have the impression that since we hear it on radio and television all the time, especially on television, with news and all of this kind of stuff, and in print, that eventually it'll just sink in and everybody will believe it. But I have always, and the last election proved it. I have to admit that I've always underestimated the American people. I have always done that. I've always felt like since Barack Obama was elected, I thought, holy cow, the American people have just gone off the rails. And once I understood why, and then once Trump was elected over, you know, with the odds being horribly against him, I began to have faith again in the American people and what they thought, what they really believed, what they understood. And you and I have had this conversation before. It's just really tough. We are, you know, really victims of hope. We're hoping that they get it. We're hoping that they understand. It's why we do this show, really.
Well, we have faith in the philosophical Americans.
Yeah.
Not the geographical Americans, philosophical Americans. Mm-hmm. But when I want to go back to Robert E. Lee for a second before we wrapped up. Robert E. Lee was a great American. Robert E. Lee was a great general. Mm-hmm. Robert E. Lee fought viciously, fought tenaciously to not have the Civil War. Mm-hmm. He did everything he could to make that not happen. Robert E. Lee didn't go to battle against the North until the North invaded his home. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a soldier and your home gets invaded, what do you do? Do you stand there and let people burn your home to the ground? And once the war was over, no one in recorded history worked harder on the South side than Robert E. Lee to try to mend the fences and reunite both sides.
And we're still not united today. And we're still, you know, I've always said that the Civil War was that dividing point in American history, probably by and large, if not completely, because of slavery, where America was divided and it never came back together. It's never been cohesive since. And that's a shame because we're so far past all of that. You know, we keep reminded by the left that it happened. We know it happened.
I defy you to find me one Democratic candidate running for president who has the honor and valor of Robert E. Lee. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist.
In closing, let me say this. Betsy Ross and her flag has been under attack by Nike and Kaepernick and all these people. And
well, Betsy Ross was a racist. You know that.
Yeah. Betsy Ross was a Quaker who was a abolitionist.
Yep.
Who was anti-slavery. And they attack this woman and they attack the flag. They attack everything without any context, without any information. And they look stupid when history comes out and proves them wrong. But they don't care.
No, they just keep doubling down on it.
They double down on it and go with it even further. I mean, it's just insane. It's crazy and it's frustrating. And I love you guys for listening to our show. I really do. It's all we have time for today. And we really appreciate it. And you can pick us up on – go ahead, Mark.
Well, I was going to say I want to remind everybody to go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Please. That's a big help.
It is.
And – take links to your favorite Blunt Force Truth shows. and send them to friends.
Send them out there.
Send your friends links to the show and tell them, listen to these two guys. Yeah, listen to these two lunatics. You'll love it.
I'm still a happy camper. I was happy on television. I'm happy here now. I'm frustrated with our politics, as a lot of you are. But, you know, keep hope alive. We love you. Thanks for watching Blunt Force, or listening to Blunt Force Truth. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.